Shut up, please. For the love of all things holy, shut up so we can start our show.
Yeah, let's start it.
We are. I'm holding my mic like a vintage Steven Tyler thing. I need a little scarves.
Little tiny baby one.
That's about it.
A borrow one from your cat.
That's all that's missing. All right, everybody, it's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio. I'm joined by Allison Frank.
That's me.
The bitch who's undermining me at every turn today.
What? That is not even true. You're in a bad mood. You were pretty good, but then you came home.
I'm
and
in
got
a sour
super...
mood because yeah. You're undermining me.
But that is
you're trying to destroy my focus.
You only just said this now, but there was someone else destroying your mood, and it was not me.
It's you. You're the one here. It's you.
Okay, well, that's not what you were telling me a few minutes ago. But if you want to say it's me, that's fine.
All you.
Okay.
The show site's inpapasbasement.com. If you like what you hear and see today, go there.
Sounds good.
And why wouldn't you?
Oh, you would.
I believe I'm all hunched over.
But what about your movie reviews? Are you still doing that?
No, I'm doing nothing written on the site. I don't care. None of it generated traffic. So why put in the effort? I'm not doing it because I want to.
Okay.
Didn't have a burning desire.
Okay.
So F it.
That is not very nice.
Today, we were scheduled to record, and then Robin Williams died, and all topics that we had planned
correct
to discuss, they go out the window.
Yeah.
When someone of Robin Williams' stature and fame dies.
Yeah.
And can we all just agree right now?
Yes.
Allison.
Yes.
Tony Stewart killed him. Okay. Holy, if I hear your goddamn phone vibrate one more time.
I don't even have my phone. That's not me.
Oh, really? Is it mine? Is it mine that's sitting here like a limp dick right next
Mine's
to me?
Mine's on the chair.
Is my cat vibrating?
Probably.
All right, I heard it. So just, can you turn off the vibrate, please?
There,
if you want to know why I'm in a bad mood, as usual, you're hopping around like a goddamn monkey 30 seconds before we start
that
recording.
That isn't even true.
Is it? It's, no. It's not? You didn't get a text or something?
No. I really did not.
Okay, put it on the carpet just to be safe.
Okay.
Something vibrated.
You know, you're hypersensitive about those things, but nobody else can hear them. It's the same when you
heard
the birds and everything.
When I was a kid, apparently I could smell when my mom was on the rag. That was a delightful little anecdote she relayed to me a couple of months ago.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I did it like unerringly well. So they could have used me to find truffles if we grew up in France.
This is not good. So, like, you know where Hoffa is and you're just not telling or what?
Not that good. I've had a lot of time to think and process, and
okay,
this isn't the internet's first time at the celebrity death rodeo. And
no, but I don't. I mean, this is pretty big. I mean, this is kind of like a Michael Jackson thing. You know what I mean? There's a lot of other people have passed away.
He predated heavy Twitter, MJ, as I recall.
Pardon?
Like, Michael Jackson's death predated everyone having a Twitter and an Instagram.
No, but everybody's Facebook. And I'm saying, like, every single person commented on his death. Whereas I have over 1,000 friends on Facebook, and, like, everyone's doing a post about it. But there are several people who have died this year, and not everyone has gotten this level. You know what I mean? But the thing about his celebrity is that it touched all ages, and not everyone has that type of fame and celebrity. I mean, he did a lot of things with kids and adults and dirty stuff. So, I mean, he just hit all the nails on the head. You see what I'm saying? As far as entertainment
goes. He appealed to every demo.
Yeah.
You're saying even in the black community right now.
Yeah. They're
ripping at their shirts.
I mean, they're just not happy about it. I mean, they liked him.
Acknowledging Robin Williams as their N-word.
Yeah. I mean, he made jokes about his son being a wigger and all that. You know what I mean? So, and he's done raps and all that kind of stuff. And they like to poke fun at that. So, black people are sad, too. Even Whoopi Goldberg, and she's super black.
Her last name's Goldberg. She's Jewish. You sound stupid right now.
That's right.
Trying to calm myself down so I can get everything that I want to say out, and it has nothing to do with his death. I don't want people to think that I'm here right now doing what pretty much everyone else on the internet, according to my Twitter feed, did, and that was buried a loved one last night.
I mean, I'm not, I don't, and that, I mean, we've had this conversation about this.
And we'll do
many
that
times.
Episode again. We're going to do it right now.
Where I'm just not, I mean, I didn't know Robin Williams. So for me to be tearful or upset, and I mean, I do have a great deal of empathy, and I do feel for his family. And
of course.
And My understanding is that he hung himself at home, and whoever found him.
I just heard asphyxiation.
Yeah.
So my brain went to either booze and pills in a bag over the head, which I believe was the Abbie Hoffman special.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Or he turned on the car in the garage and then just chilled out for a bit.
I mean, we watched that happen on House of Cards, and that seems pretty easy.
That was a little different. Wasn't that Guinea murdered that way?
I mean, you know. Oh, we shouldn't. That's a spoiler.
From like 2012.
From just a couple months ago. Not everyone.
No, that was the end of season one. The Italian guy that Kevin Spacey put up only to knock down.
Yeah.
He was like about to kill himself and then he doesn't.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Spacey was like, well, you gotta. And then doesn't he like drug him and put him in the car and turn on the ignition?
Yeah.
And
he doesn't drug him. I mean, he was inebriated anyhow. But yeah, okay. He just, yeah. Lights out. I think splashed him with some more booze and
yeah,
set him up.
He does some evil things on that show.
Yeah. So you're going to do the opposite of what everyone on your Twitter feed is doing. So what is everyone on your Twitter feed doing?
Well, at first I did this as a comedic thing because it was just like, oh, well, everyone seems so broken up. Why?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe it was because the first few times someone huge that you saw in a movie a couple times as a kid passed, like, I don't know, maybe it was your first brush with death or something. But
yeah.
This is like, 20th time we've lost someone like kind of famous that we grew up with. And
yeah,
everyone is just, it's like they want to get on the bullet train to how this moved me and how
but it
this
didn't really move me. But it does move
me
in the fact that you think here is someone who is so full of life and it's this kind of, you know,
I guess. But he was just a character on Celluloid.
No, we know that, but to bring so much joy to others, and that's your job. That's your job to do that. You know what I mean? You're put on this planet, and that's your gift that you give to others to make them laugh and smile.
There's something fake about it. There's something. I'm sorry.
But there isn't. I mean, you're a funny person, and you enjoy making people. If nobody laughed, then it wouldn't be fun for you to do that anymore. You know what I mean? And it's the same for me. You know, I'm a funny person, and
absolutely.
I enjoy making
people
laugh.
I mean, I've done this show 7 years. This August, 7 years of the show.
Yeah.
And we still have zero audience. This show has never been fun to do. I don't think it's fun for people to listen to or tell their friends about from what the numbers tell me.
Oh, goodness. But that's what I'm saying. So you just think, and anyone who just chooses to take their own life because they're so sad. Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, if you're sad, tell someone. And that was his tweet. And really, that is kind of true. And you just think, well, these people, maybe they don't really have that support system because they're thought to be the quicker picker-uppers themselves, you know? So they don't feel like making themselves vulnerable that way. You see, even yourself, for yourself, like when you're lashing out before the show, it wasn't, you don't talk about being sad or being depressed. You're always angry. You're always mad about something, but you're not really ever really talking about your feelings or how this makes you feel or whatever. You're just lashing out and you're smashing your fists and you're angry. And when you've called me before and you want to brainstorm things, I mean, at least for you, different than your brother, you do put your feelers out there and you will get input and you kind of process it in a very smart way, you know, and you kind of weigh all your different ways to think, you know, am I being rational about this or whatever? Whereas your brother, I've actually sometimes thought, well, he could really hurt himself because he just doesn't have that outlet. He just gets very angry also, and it's everyone else's fault. And then he just shuts himself off, you know? And there are many times that I've thought, oh, he is the type of person I think could really hurt himself, you know?
I think that's the one angle that really deserves a lot of coverage here, the whole depression and suicide thing. The internet, I believe, is a little tone deaf.
Yeah.
And had he died in a car crash, we'd be saying the whole same thing. It'd be like, oh, driver safety, this and that.
Yeah.
It's paying lip service to whatever was the cause of death.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he sent out a tweet saying, look.
But he did
you...
this to himself.
Yeah.
I think when someone dies of cancer or when someone dies. I mean, I think you
well,
could.
Well, it's the same thing over and over on the internet. Had he died of cancer, someone would be like, they'd send out, this is so sad as a tweet.
Yeah.
And it'd be followed by, why don't you donate to the American Cancer
Red
Association
Cross.
Or whatever the hell it's called.
But it's different in
they
this respect.
They won't really do it. But because they'll tweet
it. He did it to himself. You know what I mean? So you think, well, that's a pretty bad low. People don't get sad. You're not upset and thinking, I'm going to go shoot myself up with AIDS or cancer. You just don't. You weren't
that
telling me that.
Very metal. That is a hardcore thing to do.
And maybe if you had some of those bandanas you were talking about streaming from your microphone over there.
Yeah.
Then maybe you would. But no, I just think it's unfortunate not feeling like you have the ability to kind of reach out to others, you know?
Well, okay. I'll jump to this part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we can double back.
Okay.
I don't talk about this much on air because it's really not funny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is because I'm a lump of crap.
Right.
So anything bad happening to me is funny, at least from my point of view.
I mean, I'm that way, too. And I think I find humor in really just about everything. I mean, I just do. And not that I don't have the ability to empathize with others, because I certainly do. But there's a lot of times a joke to be made, you know?
Yeah, but I've been diagnosed with depression like, God, it was like 13?
Yeah.
Or something like that. 13 or 14.
Yeah.
I've been in and out of help, not like nut huts.
Right.
But I've seen a counselor.
I mean, you haven't been institutionalized.
No.
Right.
Never. Mm.
Never admitted for depression. Just
no,
treated.
Never taken anywhere for it.
Right.
I've gone to like office buildings that have fat, lazy shrinks.
Right.
That.
But some people have been helpful.
Within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you sound depressed. What pill do you want that'll make your dick
because
soft
they practice
as a
medicine.
Unicorn's
right.
fur?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be Zoloft? Will it be Celexa? What is going to make you an impotent as well as depressed human being?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I want to say every couple of years, not as much lately, but every couple of years, I'm usually seeking out some sort of help. A couple times a year, like clockwork, I get really, really down. And like I still manage to soldier on through like pretty much everything I have to do.
Yeah.
Like I don't blow off my customers.
Yeah.
I'll still do this show.
No, you're productive.
But every moment that I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just in bed looking at Netflix. I'm looking at porn. Like I'm jacking it 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
Just to get by.
Correct.
Just something to keep me. Cause like. Like, again, clockwork once or twice a year during these black times, I'm like, why don't I kill myself?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through one, this is weird coincidence, right now.
Yeah.
And I don't really seem that down, do I?
No.
I just seemed angrier to you, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I, like, 2 days ago, I was like, do I borrow my friend's gun?
Yeah.
And shoot myself, but that would be rude.
Yeah.
Because he might not get his gun back. Like, I don't know if they'll keep it for evidence or what, but it'd be wasteful.
That's a little bit of Maria coming out.
Yeah, but it'd be wasteful if I paid for a gun only to kill myself.
Right.
Because, like, what is my family going to do? Keep it around as a haunted pistol?
Your mom would. I mean, there would be a shrine for that gun.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, these are the things that go through your head.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I've never gone through with it. I guess I'm more logical. Yeah. I think, unlike Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't I have to achieve something? Don't I have to do something first and get noticed before I can kill myself and people will care?
But there was also a history of substance abuse there, which you don't really have. I mean, as a teenager, you can't really count. I mean, that's just a little bit and that's dabbling
from
or
like
whatever.
13 to 20, I was heavy into drugs. And then for some reason, after my old man kicked, I just like stopped cold turkey.
But you don't drink. You don't do anything now. I mean,
no, but I have horrible behavioral issues now. Like, I have horrible porn issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, porn issues, maybe some food issues.
Oh, horrible food issues. Look at me for yeah, come on. They're watching. I can't hide behind the mic anymore.
But, I mean, there's those kinds of things. So, I mean, you're not going to necessarily just eat a pie and kill yourself. You see what I'm saying? So, Robin Williams.
I'll kill myself slowly with it.
Eventually.
I mean, you see
but
the,
people don't really.
You've seen the fridge.
You know,
it's
funny.
Toilet.
They don't even call that suicide, which really that's what it is.
Oh,
with poor eating habits.
It blows my mind in this country that if you are not drinking, smoking, or snorting,
even
you do not
those
have
people weigh that, you know, they have that 600-pound life and all that.
Yeah.
They have those kinds of shows. But when that person dies, they say he died of heart failure. They
exactly.
died of, you know what I mean? A stroke or whatever.
It wasn't
but not
him
just,
eating himself to death for 10 years or 15 years.
Exactly. Just, you know, he was Hot Pockets, you know.
Getting back to the depression thing with Robin Williams before we
but
jump
just
back to the whole internet
no,
outpouring.
I'm just saying there's substance involved. So when he's having those dark thoughts, then I think substance abuse kind
well,
of
he's
pushes.
An addict as well, yeah.
Yeah, and it pushed that over the edge, I'm sure. And I don't like to speculate. And I don't like these how they're interviewing all these celebrities who may not have even had met him. And then they're trying to get their
input on it. Well, that's the thing with
it.
The internet and news this day and age. It's like, yeah. This man saw what dreams may come 3 times. Sir?
No, and I mean, well, we saw Kevin Sorbo or whatever, and he played Hercules, and now he's in a new movie, and they were interviewing.
This was on the Access Hollywood Live.
Yeah, and so we just saw that interview, and then they're like, hey, what do you think about this Robin Williams thing? And you think, you know what, that's a tragedy, and, you know, my heart goes out maybe to the family. I can't really remember what he said, but I'm thinking, why is his point even relevant? Like, why are you even, you know, stringing this together? It's not a whole Robin Williams show. It's not, you know what I mean? Just talk to him about being Hercules.
Yeah.
What was Xena like? Did you ever meet her?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Things that are related.
How did you keep hard while she wore that really dumb wig?
Or whatever. It's just ridiculous. And I don't want to pretend like I knew the guy or all that kind of stuff. I just said, you know, we should appreciate the little things. And even though yourself, you're having a rough day and an angry day or whatever kind of day you want to call it, you know, there are things that we can be thankful for, you know.
What gets to me?
10 fingers, 10 toes. We're not walking around on our hands. We don't have a twin connected to our head. You know what I mean? There's a lot to be thankful for.
What bugs me about people talking about depression.
Yeah.
Especially those who don't have it and they haven't gone through treatment. And I'm not saying this is like, oh, I'm a black person. Let me tell you about the N-word. I'm not coming from a place of privilege. It's just this is a little chunk of knowledge I have.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff I've seen going out to the effect of, if you're depressed, talk to someone about it.
Right.
A lot of us know that. I've talked to a lot of people about depression. Here's the real... mother effer about depression.
Yeah.
Despite what people think,
yeah,
the treatments for it are not that good.
Yeah.
Like, counselors, your average counselor that the average person has on their average insurance,
yeah,
they're garbage.
Yeah.
They're like Jackie Treehorn.
Yeah.
When Lebowski finds him at his house and you see him doodling on the pad and he looks deep in thought, and then Lebowski traces what he drew and it's just a stick figure with a dick like this.
Yeah.
They don't really care.
No.
They listen for 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Within 30 seconds, you can tell their eyes have glossed over. They're like, oh, which farm company is giving me my vacation to Honolulu for this month? That's what his ass is going on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been on Prozac. Yeah. That did nothing. Gave me tummy aches.
Yeah.
It really didn't make me happy.
But did you take it for the whole 12 weeks?
Oh, yeah. I took everything the recommended amount of time.
Yeah.
I've been on Celexa and Zoloft, which make you especially, like, I'm not saying I'm Robin Williams funny, but I try to be funny and quick-witted. You're a damn zombie on that crap. Every shred of your personality, for me, down the crapper.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get my dick hard.
Yeah.
It was funny because it got me out of my head.
Yeah.
So I stopped being insightful and funny, but it also made me do really well with chicks. Like, when I was on Zoloft and I was like 20 or 21, I was juggling 4 or 5 chicks, but I couldn't get it up to bang them. It was awesome. It was like Gift of the Magi with my dick.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I took. Oh, there's been a fax order.
So it friend-zoned you.
Well, no, I'd make out with them.
Yeah.
And then they'd reach for my limp noodle.
Yeah.
And think I didn't want to screw.
Yeah.
And all it just sat there, like just leaking preemie. It's like a dead fish.
Yeah, so it kind of puts you in a friend zone perpetually. So that's nice.
No, it was like a suspected gay zone. Like, oh, I think he's figuring out things. Like, we'll make out. Do you want to go shopping with me? It's like, no, I want to bang you.
Oh,
we're
goodness.
20. No one has anything. We don't.
But I think that's why.
Condoms.
I mean, maybe it doesn't. But for people who are funny and are expected to be funny and are always funny, even myself, and I've talked about this before.
What? Get at who expects you?
No. What I'm saying is, I think even when I'm especially frustrated and I'm having a really awful day, people just say, "Oh my gosh, you are so funny. This is hilarious." And I think, you know what? I'm having a really awful day. Like, if somebody gave me a hug right now, I'd probably just melt. Like, it's just that bad of a day. Like, you ever have one of those Job days where it's just, and I didn't realize this biblically. You know, I grew up going to church and all this kind of stuff, but I didn't realize until I was
an adult.
You're
talking about Arrested Development, right?
No. Oh. They, anyhow, it was while one was yet speaking that another one came. So it's like, hey, all your kids are dead. And then, excuse me, and he interrupts and like, oh, you're all your sheep are dead. And then one, so while one was yet speaking, yet another one came. And I've had those kinds of days. People think, oh, you are just hilarious. You are so funny. So to really just kind of, like, if you just crack that and just say, you know what I mean? I'm having a really awful day. And you tell people that. If you're a funny person, they just don't really buy into it. And there's really no kind of gateway to kind of maybe pour your heart out or whatever. Plus, I'm not that type of person anyhow. I don't feel like being a burden to someone else, you know, if you're having a really rough day. You know, it's easier just to kind of joke it off or whatever. And I mean, that is a coping mechanism. We all understand that too. But I think it's a pretty darn good one. I mean, I'm not opening a bottle and I'm not drowning my sorrows and I'm not hurting anyone else and I'm not a violent person. So if I can make a, you know, a couple sarcastic remarks or something, then I think I'm okay with it, you know. But then people always complain that they don't really know me, you know. They're like, I don't even know you. You feel so far away.
I do. No one should want to know you. You're a mooch and a lie about.
Oh, goodness. And thank you for my lunch, speaking of
exactly.
That.
Yeah. It's like wanting to know Stephen Wright in, what's that, Stoner Half Bake?
It was $6.38. Come on.
Pre-tax. But
so I'm saying, for people like you, for maybe people like Robin Williams, where you're always just kind of expected to be funny, and you always are funny. Like, he's always on, I think, even when he's having a rough day.
Of course.
He comes off very likable, and people are saying all the outpouring of stuff for people who've had brushes with him or met him at a comedy club or whatever.
No one's like he was a dick as soon as the cameras went
off.
Yeah,
exactly.
He seems genuinely great, which leads me to believe there was genuine pain in that dude's life.
Yes, exactly.
He really didn't want to make other people feel the way that at least sometimes he felt.
Correct.
Again, I do not want people to think that the average depressed person hasn't sought some sort of treatment. And that's the problem. The treatment methods that are out there as of 2014
are poor.
They're still crap. Thank you.
It's very, very poor. And I think more often, I mean, myself, I'm not like pro psych myself. I've just never been. And when all my years.
Well, you're a Scientologist.
That's right. Me and Tom Cruise. Oh, goodness.
You've had me hold those handlebar devices before.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, but I'm saying I'm just not for it. And there's been very few cases where I think, oh, that person's benefiting from a pill. You know, I do believe
the pills are awful. Your average shrink does not care. And this dude was rich as hell.
Yeah.
And probably could get some guy whose name ended in Berg or Steen to charge him $300 and really get in here.
Yeah,
and try
a
to
lot
tinker.
Of people, even just everyday people, which I'm surprised your mom doesn't invest in that, because that's kind of a sound investment for her, is to have a concierge physician where they're just on call.
I thought you were going to say a noose and a stout dowel rod.
No, but I'm surprised she hasn't. I mean, they are available and, you know. I mean, yeah, so I'm sure he could have had a concierge. But again, because you're a funny person, I think people just don't take it seriously. You know, they just think, oh, you know, and you're still cracking jokes. He could have been bombed. He could have been whatever. And he's still fun to be around, you know, even though he's in this really dark place. And I've had some really rock bottom days where people go, oh, my gosh, you just a breath of sunshine. And I just think I'm having a really tough day here, you know. So, I mean, I do think laughter is the best medicine, but I mean, sometimes you just need a hug. You know,
it's just that is the douchiest soundbite I've ever heard. That's what I hope this episode gets known for. Sometimes you just need a hug.
Sometimes you do. You know, have you ever hugged somebody and then they just melt and you think, wow? And that goes to show you. I mean, there's a thing going around too, and it's like you never know what else someone else is going
through.
Only
an Ebola victim.
That's true.
They more squished.
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. It pays to be kind, and a little kindness goes a long way, and I try to live my life that way, you know?
Yeah. I do an okay job, except with the people I care about the most. And I think that's what everyone says. I'm all right with the strangers. It's the people whose
But some people are not all right with the strangers, and some people are very... I mean, I find those people very unattractive. They feel like they're owed something, or because they've earned their degree, or they've earned the right to kind of treat people poorly, you know, because they've had more education or because they have more money or because of whatever else, you know, they don't like the way someone looks. You know?
Sound like you're describing a Frank Capra film. That old rich man on the hill thinks he's better than us people down here.
I'm just saying that, I mean, not everyone lives by that creed, but it is true that the ones that are closest to us, we do kind of tend to take advantage of and treat the least kind. You know, we tend to lose it because we're closest to them and we know that they won't leave us.
Yeah, I mean, look how rough you've been with me this episode.
You're being rough yourself.
All I'm trying to do is scream at you so you'll shut up.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't shut up.
No, you are on a rant. Before we went on the radio, you were on this rant and you got yourself all worked up. And then you were like, I need to cool down. And you had to put yourself on the back burner.
I had to put myself in timeout.
And you had to have some water to cool off.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
As well as cool your hot head down because you got yourself so worked up. I didn't do that. You were priming yourself.
I needed to be fanned by Gregory Hines in History of the World Part 1.
Oh, I never saw it, but I do like it.
I think I remembered half of that thing correctly. I think there's like a scene where they test if he's a eunuch and there's like a feather on his prick.
Oh.
And so they have a chick like dancing seductively in front of him and the feather
lifts.
I can
see how that could stand out.
Yeah. It's much more lighthearted than what they would have done in real life, which is just stare at everyone's balls and then behead them as soon as they found his penis was intact.
Oh, not good.
That isn't so much of a knee slapper.
No, none of this really is knee slapping good time. I mean, this isn't a laugh a minute episode, I don't think.
No, but are they ever?
Sometimes they are.
We've established then that I have some shred of emotional capacity.
No, I think you do. I think you always
no.
have. You do. But I think a lot of times, rather than reaching out and or talking about being sad or talking about being depressed, you're just angry. It comes out as anger.
Well, then
it doesn't come out as being sad.
My question is as follows.
Yeah.
Am I a complete piece of crap for not tweeting about how crushed I am that this dude that I didn't know?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, haven't given a crap about his movies in 18 years. Not really since Birdcage and Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Am I junk? Am I human garbage for not tweeting how much he meant to me? Or are people, do we live in a sensationalized internet age?
Yeah.
Where thanks to BuzzFeed, everyone's argument that you hate is destroyed.
Yeah.
These are the best five places to eat in the world ever.
Yeah.
Is everything so hyperbolic?
Yeah.
That someone dies and we can't put it into a proper focus. What's the truth here? I mean, according to you.
No, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And I don't like, that was kind of like with the movie with Ray Charles and how they just, you know, they just kind of glorified this whole thing. And really, he just, was he talented? Yeah, but really.
And by whole thing, you mean a Negro who mouthed off to the white man. A bad, bad example.
Just a human being with a serious heroin problem. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love the ending of that film.
Yeah.
First of all.
And what a beautiful person he, you know what I mean? And trying to celebrate.
The guy
and
had
the same
like
with
12
Whitney
bastards
Houston.
That
yeah.
they mashed into one. And then at the end of the film, they're like, from that day forward, Ray never touched heroin again. He spent all the 80s and like half
he
of the
was
90s
90,
coked.
Yeah, he quit when he was 91.
Exactly.
So good for him. I mean, I do, you know, a leopard can change its spots. But I mean,
it's like saying he never drank scotch again. He was just a beer drunk the rest of his life.
Exactly. I mean, and then people are cheating. But I think, you know, I mean, this is kind of different because he's such a funny, fun person. Not that he didn't have some really dark problems. And I did a tweet about it myself and I did a little blurb about it. And really, my thing was that we should just kind of appreciate the small things. You know, we kind of remember him because he touched so many. He came to all of our homes, you know. How many of movies has he made and that we've seen and then we've laughed? And he is an extraordinary talent, you know, his improv skills. And, you know, they talk about being a comedian is when you actually say funny things and then where you're a comic and you just say things funny. And he had both of those things, you know, he could do both of them. You know, he could read the phone book and he's reading a script, but it comes off very funny.
He
and
really, then he... really was an ADD case, if I've ever seen one on stage.
Oh, and I mean, everyone raves about that, but the things that he could come up with, you know,
no,
what he's mean?
Brilliant. But yeah. I think if anyone doesn't understand how the ADD brain works, which, by the way, in addition to depression meds, I was on Dexedrine and Concerta and Ritalin and Adderall and all that too.
Yeah.
Those uppers are the one thing that calms you down.
Yeah.
So if you really can't put two and two together about why this guy skied his way from about 77 to 92, that's why. That was like the one time he probably got an ounce of mental peace.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, he's very talented that way. And you think, well, you know, you're all hopped up on drugs or alcohol, and sometimes that can get the party started. But I don't know, the vast majority of the people that I know suffering with substance abuse or struggling with it, they're not a lot of fun. You know what I mean? They're not a lot of fun to be around. People don't like to see them. They're like,
well,
oh,
if they're
I
in the
don't
depths of it, of addiction, they're horrible. I've dealt with people, I family members, not my brother. Not my mom or anyone like that, but, you know, go one loop out from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're horrible. It's like anytime they're coming off it, they're
and
complete
assholes.
They're not
funny. They're not writing acts. They're not engaging people. They're not selling out stadiums. And
no, they're just addicts. Yeah. They're just the bad part. And it sucks because you see the swell happening when they're happy, but it's like, oh, you tricked everyone, or so you think, and replaced your water bottle with vodka. And you're going to be an asshole of the highest variety in 2 hours, but right now you're having a gay old time of it.
Yeah.
Yay! Can't wait for this to play out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've dealt with addicts before. They're the pits, man. I don't view them as human. I'll be honest. Like, that's probably not the nicest thing to say.
Well, did we see the interview together when they were interviewing the cast for the Expendables, the latest Expendables movie, and how they're already doing another Expendables? Like, this is, what, 3? And so they're already working on 4. Did we watch the interviews together or whatever? And they have 2, and they're like, welcome back Wesley Snipes and welcome back Mel Gibson, you know, after their one with a brush with the law and the other one brush with, I guess.
The Jew.
Yeah, all the Jews. Not just a singular.
I said that in a Borat-esque manner. He has a Jew problem.
Yeah, it's just like... Anyhow, and he was talking about, you know, you have to accept a certain amount of forgiveness and you have to be forgiven, you know, there's a lot of, but yeah, that's one person who, you know, had some meltdowns on substance abuse, didn't take his own life, but really lashed out at a lot of people and it was caught on tape, you know, cuckoo. So there's not a happy drunk.
No. Yeah. A friend of mine posted on Facebook, this was one thing that did get me.
Yeah.
Everyone who wants to be maudlin about it, that's fine. Okay. If he meant a lot in your childhood, like
but
you saw a genie 5,000 times, so be it. But I really get mad when someone tries the tough love approach. Like, I'm being an asshole in the sense I'm like, you didn't know him.
Yeah.
Just, if you're sad, so be it. But really, if this is how you feel about a dude you watched in a movie dying...
Yeah. But we didn't just
you
see
better
him in
really
one
put
movie.
On a show when your mom or dad dies.
That's like
all
Michael
I'm
Jackson dying. I mean, that was kind of a big surprise. Yeah, okay, he's doing
I cried at that. That is maybe the only celeb death I ever teared up at.
But here is a guy who's just super talented, and we're all so surprised. Yeah. I think when you see somebody like Kinnison go, people saw that coming a mile away. When the Tommy Boy died.
The drunk driver that killed him didn't.
Boom.
Yeah.
But I mean, when, you know, Chris Farley died, I mean, people just...
For a second, I thought you were going to say Chris Rock, and I wanted, objection.
No, but I mean, people can say, you know what, that's a hard living lifestyle and all that. And I'm sure there are people who are surprised by him and how many, you know, maybe brushes that he had. But he took his own life. It's not like it was some accidental kind of thing, you know, and that's what makes it especially sad, you know.
Do you find that more sad?
I do, than if somebody just did it by accident. It's like they want to live. You know, it's
I
like
find it less sad. Like they actually made a decision. Like the saddest thing to me is like the baby that just like
to me,
age 18 months has like cancer coming out of its eyes. You're like, what the hell did that thing do in a past life? Unless that's like Goebbels reincarnated.
Yeah.
Did that baby deserve to like Vince Neil's kid?
Yeah.
That's the reference for zero people in the audience. Vince Neil, singer of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
I think he had a girl, a baby girl. And she was just like born with like tumors the size of watermelons and cider, yeah, and just had this horrible 5-year life or, yeah, 3-year life where it's like, oh, your tumors are massive again. Time to, yeah, detumor you. Like,
no,
that
but
to
I
me
think
is a thousand times sadder.
Because you can see that there is prevention. If, you know what I mean?
I guess.
With someone who's hit by a drunk driver, I mean, that prevention, you know what I mean? That's involving someone else. And, you know, if you get shot or something, I can't have prevented.
Don't wishfully think aloud.
I couldn't have prevented that. But knowing that you shot yourself, thinking, oh, if I, you know, if you would have just reached out, or if I talked to him, or I just saw him. We had just done the radio show. I just saw him just a few minutes before. If he would have just opened up about his sadness and not been so angry. John. Here's your third grade teacher.
I opened up. I'm 33, and I still process depression by lashing out at other people. And you know what? It'll never change. So I pity anyone that winds up with me.
Oh, goodness. But, I mean, if they're able to recognize that and recognize that you're going through a tough time, or that's how you process sadness. And I think when you're close to people, you kind of get to know their ins and outs and, you know, what they're really dealing with when they lash out and they're angry or they throw things or those kinds of things, you know.
So I'll act up, and then you'll just hand me a Nutty Buddy and pat me on the head.
Yeah, and we'll be like, oh, that was...
How do you know?
And then we'll hug, and there'll be a hug in there, because sometimes you just need a hug.
And then 5 minutes later, I'll be calling,
now it'll be
this
episode will blow up all over the internet. And it'll be like, Allison Frank said Robin Williams would be here if he just had a hug. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, sometimes... a hug can go a long way. You want a hug?
No, I was trying to think back. Like, I wanted to yeah, offer some of the good
times.
But
there are, though, some people who do feel like they do know celebrities for whatever reason. And, you know, with the posters and all of that. And I actually feel bad for them in another way.
Yeah. I've only experienced it with one milieu, yeah, one genre of celebs.
Yeah.
And that's the radio guys. And it's because you listen
to
them talk about their lives 4 hours a day.
And stuff all over. I mean,
what, were you in my room in 90, 91, where I bought a couple Hit Paraders and cut the little sheets out and put them on the wall as every metal kid had to?
2 years ago. I mean, they're still up.
I had, like, Scarface posters up by then. I had my posters from college, thank you very much,
decorating
my walls.
I'm just saying, like, I just never had that. That was just never my thing.
Yeah,
because
you looked like a gypsy. You were just happy to have walls and a roof over your head. The thought of actually decorating a place that you slept in more than 2 nights.
I mean, I just didn't idolize people like that. I can appreciate someone who's super talented.
I didn't idolize. It was just what you did as a kid. Like, I was into rock, and it was buy, you know, like a Kerrang and cut out the pictures of Metallica and stick them on your wall.
I had a thing for Scott Baio. I had a thing for Kirk Cameron, but I didn't have posters of them all over the place. I just thought, oh, they're people.
You had a folder of pictorials that you masturbated to by rubbing yourself against a stuffed animal. I know what it is to be a little girl.
I got paper cuts.
All right. At my age, I came into Robin Williams' career at a, yeah, really weird time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this again to be a dick.
Yeah.
Like everything I...
Right.
It all just comes off that
way. I mean,
you
had a couple funny
myself.
Tweets. I don't think that there was anything that was especially insensitive. You know what I mean? There were a couple people who kind of made some jokes, and it was
Well, there were people that went too far the other way,
yeah,
for my money. Like Jimmy Kimmel's tweet. Or not Kimmel's tweet. Fallon.
Oh, that was horrible.
Fallon's tweet. Holy God. Let me dig it up.
It's bad.
Took a walk in New York City this morning under a tree-lined street. Perfect breeze. Looked like it was raining flowers. I know that was you, Robin.
Not good.
I thought they said Maya Angelou died.
The
and
thing is
are,
that wouldn't
well.
Even that wouldn't even be so bad if that's how he talked. But he doesn't talk like that.
He'll get there. Every comedian tires of being just the funny guy. Give him time.
I mean, if that's how people really do talk, like if your mom said something like that or whatever, even your mom doesn't talk like that. But you know what I'm saying? There are people who do talk really flowery.
Yeah, they're called douchebags.
No, I mean, they're old ladies I work with. You know, it's been a nurse who's been a nurse for 25 years and said, you know what? She was a sunbeam.
Did
and...
she point at like a cat hanging on a wire?
Yeah.
And say, hang in there, baby.
I mean, but they mean that sincerely. And when they give you that card, it's coming from a sincere place. It's not coming from... you know, in your face. Now, we read that and we know how Fallon carries himself on TV. And we do know that TV personalities, they can, but even when they do off interviews, like, you don't hear him talking about people like that. So that's
no,
where
he's not the goddamn poet laureate.
Yeah.
That's what drives me nuts about it. The man dies and suddenly you can string together a haiku or two for us. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm with you on the overly sensitive, you know, and people that act like they knew him.
If you
really
worked
didn't.
With him, that's fine. I think what you dug up like one clip where he did a guest monologue.
Yeah.
Dude, maybe I'm just not that sensitive. If someone raised you, if they were a sibling, if it's your pet.
But when you're working on movie sets and when you're doing those types of things, you're together in close quarters for months. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I can get that you have a bond or
if
something.
If you died 6 hours from now, I would get a bag of lime and just dump it on your corpse. Like
but you know what?
Jacket.
I met Howie Mandel.
So when he dies, I'm going to look forward to a lot of tweets.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's ridiculous. That's, I mean,
you're
going to
say, I met the man.
Oh, when I was on my honeymoon and just...
Bald like Gandhi, brain like Gandhi.
He had hair then, actually. this was a...
He didn't
you
look like the singer of Disturbed. There's three bald Jewish guys that look the same. Uh-huh. The guy who played Runkle in Californication.
Yes.
And he was also Charlotte's dude in Sex and the City. Dave Draymond from Disturbed.
Yeah.
And now Howie Mandel. Yep. I don't know if you just pierce a Jew's ear and shave his head. He suddenly morphs into this one being.
Yeah. Are they all Jews?
Yeah. Unless my files aren't up to date.
Now we're going to get angry tweets about that, too.
I wish. God, if I could even get Jewish people to stop to piss on this show, it'd be a step in the right direction. That's how bigoted I am. It's like, you're Jewish, there must be a show
but
business
But there were a lot of
somewhere.
Nice celebrity tweets. There was one.
Like Sally Field.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
They did Doubtfire together.
But they had a long history. I think they did other stuff together,
Who was
too.
Mindy?
I don't know.
Mindy gets to tweet a lot about him.
Pam Dawer.
Okay.
And she's married to Mark Harmon. And Mark Harmon played Ted Bundy. And you were just making jokes about him, too.
That was an around the world, but good for you. I'm impressed. It's a very creepy laugh you then kicked into, but
oh goodness gracious, yeah. So there you have it.
Did we solve it all?
We didn't, but I think
I think we fixed the
about...
internet. If people just listen to what we did.
Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't know the guy, but I just do think that, you know, you see someone like this who is so charismatic, so full of life, and so super talented, and then they're gone. And I think we just don't, we kind of, and we say this every, you know, often enough, it's just overset. You know, you gotta, you know, take
I guess he was, but he
thankful.
Was very parodied too.
Yeah, like, but was... regardless, he has a very quick wit, and I think we can appreciate that. Anyhow,
I
just think
The Simpsons
that...
took the time to duke on him more than once, where it's just like, you know, you get someone a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And, oh, look. Look who we got, Robin Williams.
But I think if you can just, you know, take joy and pleasure in the little things and be thankful for, you know, the things that you have, as much as you complain about your mom, you should be thankful that she's around and
I
that
am.
She cares and
Absolutely.
That she loves you and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, today is my mom's birthday. Happy
is
birthday,
it?
Mom. Yes.
Oh, so you're spending it with her and you got her a gift.
I did. I always, yes.
What did you get her?
It's something. It's private. It's
oh,
personal.
Really? So that means it isn't worth much.
No, green. I get her green. It goes with everything. Then she can get whatever she wants.
Is that code for pot?
That's code for cash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually give my parents money. Sometimes I get them a little gift or something else, but a little green goes a long way. Green goes with everything, and that's my catchphrase. And if somebody wants to get me a gift, they can make sure it's green.
When's your birthday?
October 22nd.
That's coming up.
Yep.
Have to get you something.
Yeah, green.
All right.
But you were going to talk about when you saw him in the very first time or something like that, and you said it was douchebaggy.
Yeah, I fell into this weird time frame where I wasn't old enough to know Robin Williams from Mork and Mindy and Comic Relief and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I was too old when Aladdin came out to not. Yeah. To not crap all over it and not be too cool for Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, I was like 16 for Doubtfire, so I kind of saw it, but I was like, eh, what a piece of junk. That was for little kids. And same with the genie. There's a time period in every lad's life where he's outgrown Disney.
Yeah.
And he has to turn on it.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, you're like, ah, it's got adult jokes. I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was just growing hair on my peaches, like my most vivid Robin Williams memory.
Yeah.
I was attending my first sleepover where like we stayed up all night.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I think we either talked or looked at porn. That's a real thread here. I'm a sad porn addicted man.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, it was over at my friend Jimmy's place.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's parents took us out to see Toys.
Yeah.
I believe it was called.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the premise whatsoever. I simply remember, I think he was a toy maker or the son of a toy maker.
Yeah.
And it had LL Cool J. Yeah. And I was not nearly as critical then as I am now. But I was like, man, what a colossal hunk of junk.
Oh, it's awful. I don't think Toys is
so bad.
I don't think I saw it. I didn't see Jumanji. I didn't. There's plenty of them I didn't see, but I think there are plenty where he did a great job. And I think that when he
did so many clunkers. Like his career had these great high points.
Yeah.
Don't get me. Well, I'm just saying he's not John Cassale. His five movies weren't all nominated for Best Picture. Okay.
Or Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, his batting average not exactly in the 300s.
Who can
or
impersonate
above.
My mother and I'm
and win the Academy Award for it.
I'm like, oh gosh, you got me again, Daniel Day.
Yeah,
you
man.
Got me again. I thought this was my mom. Damn, he's good.
Your dad comes out just scoping his mouth. He fooled me too.
That's right. Oh gosh.
No, it's I'm trying to think of the real, if you look at them objectively, real high points.
Yeah.
Dead Poets Society.
Great one.
That
where like, he came off his comedic thing, you know?
Yeah. And he was one of, I want to say that was the start of like modern comedians going serious. Now that's just a step.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah. Jim Carrey did a couple funny movies. Time for him to do Man in the Moon. But it was really, like I'm looking back, was it
but I think before they didn't really want to cast that. They thought, you know what I mean? They just didn't think that they could come out of that role or that people would buy them in that. That's kind of like when Tom Hanks tries to play a villain. I still don't buy it. Like, I just can't do it.
Oh, you still see him as that lighthearted lad from Bachelor Party?
Bachelor Party or Bosom Buddies or, you know, the guy next door and people, all the celebrities or people that
That's
have run into
really,
him and just
really switched.
They say he's a nice guy. So you're just like, oh, Forrest.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't buy it. So, I mean, it's the same.
So
that
he
way
plays
too.
Mengele in that one movie and you're like, well, he wouldn't shove a Jew in an oven.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't buy it.
He didn't. I made that up.
But I'm just saying you wouldn't buy it.
No.
And that's like him with the captain, whatever. And I think that captain was a douchebag, is what everyone said.
My boat, no.
But even then, you didn't really. I mean, I couldn't sympathize with that character.
Captain Phillips?
Yeah. And
I've read way too much about the real Captain
that's
Phillips.
That's what I'm saying. They say
that
he was
guy's
a douchebag.
A bag of S.
Yeah.
Oh, my good Lord. Like, the only reason they were in trouble is because he was a reckless asshole.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But, yeah, Robin Williams, give him Dead Poets, because I can't think of anyone since, oh, God, who played Minnesota Fats in The Hustler? Big fat slob. Work with me here.
I don't know. I never
saw
it.
Son of a bitch.
I never saw it. I don't know.
Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those times where a comedian got a really meaty, dramatic role. And for my money, he was good in it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't blown away. But you look at him in Dead Poets Society, and then he did Good Will Hunting.
That was great.
Those were actual, really deep, impressive turns, man.
He did the one with De Niro, too.
That was like his... If you want to wonder why a dude who was used to making people laugh might have been down in the dumps, go back... The last time he was, like, featured in a film.
Yeah.
Where, really, it was his show. For my, well.
The RV movie.
That I got, like,
that
a
one?
Well, yeah, okay. I'd kill myself, too, if I made that. I wouldn't have waited so
Thank
long.
Thank goodness
either.
You don't have a garage.
Yeah.
Because you're not going that way. And all your knives are
dull.
Yeah, the
RV would have been one stop.
We just found him with all these pinpricks. Because all the knives in here are dull.
Just in an airplane hangar. They're like, why is he caulking the door shut?
This killing myself is a lot of work. I'm exhausted.
Gotta make sure that
we think he was trying to commit
escape.
A suicide. The ladder, the rope, but he died of exhaustion.
He had a lot of clunkers, but I remember in 2002, it was Insomnia and One Hour Photo, and he played like an evil killer in both of them, as I recall. And that was, if you want to talk this guy's career, I remember back then, it wasn't like, oh, look at this new turn for him.
Yeah.
It was, hey, maybe this will be the jump start because he's already been in the crapper for a bit.
Yeah.
And that was 02.
Yeah.
Now he's playing, what, like Teddy Roosevelt or some junk? He's second. He's like third fiddle to Ben Stiller and old Broken
Nose. The RV movie was his, though, I think. I mean, I don't know.
That's
even,
like me bragging that this show's mine. No one cares. No one would lay claim to it otherwise. There's not a line
but
saying,
who cares?
Oh,
he's getting paid. That's like we were talking about De Niro. Like, oh, he's in, you know, Flushmatic 2000 commercials. Yeah, okay, but he made $20 million or whatever. Like, who cares what De Niro does? Like, he got paid. Robin Williams got paid,
too. He can make, like, shark fin boner pills in China ads for all I care. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He's De Niro.
Yeah, exactly. But Robin Williams, he had a talent. And I was reading, I actually was a huge Mark and Mindy fan. And that was one of the things we had.
How old were you when that came out? 16? 24?
That's true. I had my own family. But growing up, my mom, we had very few traditions in our family. No holiday traditions, no really.
Yeah, you're godless. I get it.
No, but one of the things my mom did do was we had 8 o'clock, was the 8 o'clock show, as we called them, and 8 o'clock snack. And Mork and Mindy was one of the 8 o'clock shows, and we used to look forward to that. And
what night was it on?
Oh, you know, actually, you know, my mom used to save TV guides. I probably should have that memorized, but I don't remember. Maybe a Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Seems like I wanted to, because Happy Days, too, was one of the 8 o'clock shows. Anyhow, but it's fun, though, that they were talking about the script writers for that show, and they would just have blanks in the pages for him just to go off.
Riff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it must have been cool to see, like, the first few times. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
About the 50th time, you're just trying to get the scene banged out and get home to your wife and kids.
I mean, you are, but you have to kind of admire people who can do that. I mean, not everyone can deliver lines that are
fed. What we just did? That's for an hour?
Correct. But people can't do it when the lines are given to them. They can't deliver it. And that's why I think we can appreciate people who do it really well. People who host shows and those kinds of things. We kind of take it for granted because they make it look so easy, you know?
Except for Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal's great. What's wrong with Billy Crystal? I saw his one-man show on HBO or something.
700 Sundays.
Yeah, it was good. He did a good job.
I liked it more than I should have.
I think we all did. And again, he's 150 years old. He's a seasoned professional. He's an entertainer. And that's really what Robin Williams was. He was an entertainer. Yeah, he's a funny guy, but he really could entertain. And he could entertain just doing nothing. And that's a good talent to have. You know?
I wish I had.
You're entertaining and you are funny.
I've been fiddling with this tie on camera. They can now see it for the last 30 minutes.
I watched some people on the radio. There was they did a radio interview where they're doing it like this, the podcast, and you can see them while they're doing it. And you can tell the real seasoned people, they actually do cater for people who can't see. So they are familiar with radio and how radio works. And it's not – a lot of times with these newer podcasts and things, they have, you know, built-in feeds and all that, like Stern now with his show. But he's – seasoned and he's been doing it a long time, so he can cater to the camera and he can cater to the radio audience. But I was watching this interview and the person the whole time, like, you're fiddling with this thing, but I'm always fiddling with my earphone.
Well, you're not even on camera right now. No. Everyone thinks you're just some AI that I talk to. They're like, why isn't Allison on camera?
Well, when we set it up properly, it'll be good. But
oh,
this
really?
Is really not. I can't
you're
even.
You're never going to show up with, like, your game face on. So, people, you're just going to watch me for the rest of the time.
I mean, when you're calling me or I'm coming from work or whatever, like, that's disgusting. Nobody
all
wants
right,
to see
all right,
when
are this. You not working?
Huh?
When are you not working?
I'm
you not... act like there are magical days where you've been off for 3 days and you had your beef waxed and you got your
permed. Have my mustache waxed.
Is it still there?
I tried to do it the other night before bed.
Good Lord.
After you were making fun of my soul patch.
Yeah, you look like Scott Weiland.
But this place is not built for camera. Like, you can't even walk. They can't see, but you can't even walk over there. Me, I'm like buckled in by what are these huge planters?
Film inside the Apollo or something. I think we.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Again. They're not. It's not entertaining. Here to see us air out our balls. We talk.
It's not
into a microphone poorly.
What I'm saying is that it's the fidgeting or whatever. You'll notice.
We
that.
Can't help it.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't.
And I've never been diagnosed with ADD.
It's been 60 minutes since old Lady Kane.
Actually, when I watched that movie Flight, I mean, this is on a different thing, but it really makes you want to do coke.
Oh, it made me miss it like crazy. And I want to do coke with John Goodman. He looks like the best wingman for coking ever. He's calling you big dog and like pouring you whiskey.
Not only that, but it's like this whole kind of kit. It's like a coke kit. Like, you got a press conference? Boom, we got the train. Yeah. Train's a-coming.
That was amazing. I want that kit before every episode.
This. Yeah.
That'd be funny. Here you go.
I was pumped to do some coke. You what makes you want to throw your popcorn on the floor and just crush it
and do lines of the popcorn?
No, call John Goodman to come over.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can have a really good time. I want to fly a plane and do some coke.
Yeah.
It didn't want to deter me.
Superpowers.
Like leaving Las Vegas with Nick Cage. I mean, you think, wow, drinking's bad. That is so sad. Everyone's depressed.
I was a bummer. I need a drink to take the edge off.
But watching Flight goes, man, I want to do some coke. I want to stay up all night and I want to fly a plane.
Leaving
like an
Las
ace.
Vegas failed on every level with me. Like seeing Elizabeth Shue all dirty and getting pumped in the butt. I was just like, can we pause? I need to take one out. And then him drinking in the desert heat. I'm like, I am thirsty. Good point. Doing the whole bar fly
actually,
life.
That one was really sad for me. And people were like, well, how did you like that movie? Well, it's not a picker-upper, but I think if anyone who's lived with people who have had that sort of substance abuse, it's very real. And they
a movie has to be happy to be a hit?
No, it doesn't.
Schindler's List was a laugh a minute?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying they're like, oh, what do you think or whatever? And I just thought, well, it was done well from a very real perspective, you know? Man, it was not happy.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Free ourselves of these shackles.
Yeah,
these bonds. I held the mic. You could see it on camera.
And take some joy in the little things because we lost
I want to pee. And then I'm going to call back the person that called me over a half hour ago, business that I lost.
Oh, great.
So that'll be fun.
All right.
I like that I really haven't had a call in days. And of course, I fire up and can't really pause this live feed.
Right.
And it has one viewer.
Wow. Hi.
Building things up here.
That's right.
Just kill me. 7 years, one viewer on a YouTube channel. Why?
You didn't prime the audience.
I did. I tweeted.
Last night? Did you say, hey, tomorrow?
I didn't know we'd even be doing the show tomorrow. Maybe I did. Who gives a crap?
I'm just saying. Okay.
No one remembers things 5
Facebook,
minutes
later. Facebook, Twitter. You put it all out there. You prime the audience. Then they know to tune in. But if they don't, and it's just 5 minutes before we get on, then...
That's the only thing they'll remember. If you do it 2 hours ahead of time, I don't...
You
what
do
did you
few.
Tell me 2 hours ahead of time? Because I don't know.
When you were at Cece's Pizza?
Yeah, and you said, don't eat there, and I did.
Yeah.
And I regret nothing.
We'll see. Somebody was pretty cranky.
I do have to grab. All right, that was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio.
Ooh,
she was Allison Frank.
That's me.
You want to get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram, it's at Papa's Basement.
Oh, that sounds good.
Allison over there, if you want her on either of those delightful services,
absolutely.
She is at Allison Frank, ALLIS0NFrank.
Correct.
Find the YouTube channel as well.
Sounds good.
I don't know where the link is.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Even have a name for it.
Oh.
Maybe just YouTube, Papa's Basement, and Google.
Maybe that's why we only have one viewer, so maybe you should find out.
I think we have like 17 subscribers now, so shut up.
Okay. All right.
The show site, inpapasbasement.com, is home to every episode we've ever done. We put up 2 a week, typically.
Yeah.
And what do you have? inpapasbasement.com/iTunes to I sounded like I was calling a cat. Subscribe there. Doing the whole iTunes thing.
Sounds
again,
good.
inpapasbasement.com/iTunes and inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher if you do Stitcher. And tell people to subscribe. Give us good ratings. No one cares. No one listens. 7 years, 0 listeners. It's all good. Man, I really have to crap all of a sudden. You might have been right about Cece's.
All right.
Okay, let's...
Bye, darling.
Yeah, kill that.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.